So I found a fascinating story off CNBC. You've got it in front of you, Caleb, in terms of the future and people living to 100, medical knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, growing by leaps and bounds. We've been discussing this off the air for the last 15 minutes here.
Right, and what was the line that Mark had found? I'm like frantically searching.
Again,
I just opened the article.
From the CNBC article, medical knowledge will double every 73 days by 2020 versus every 3.5 years in 2010.
Now, just pause here for a second.
Yes.
The fact that medical knowledge and everything that was available for medical doubling every 3.5 years in 2010, that's still amazing.
That's staggering. You know, what's so interesting to me is I hear people say, you know, all the time, but it's 2019, we should do this. But you know what, really? They did not discover penicillin until, I believe it was 1929 when penicillin was discovered.
Mm-hmm.
It was less than 100 years ago that we discovered antibiotics. Mm-hmm. We didn't even have antibiotics 100 years ago. You think about how far medicine has come.
Mm-hmm.
In the past 100 years, it is staggering.
Well, in terms of we continue to fight cancer, but I mean, the gene therapy that's going on there, friends I know in the medical field say that's amazing what they can do in that field. I go back just a few years ago. I remember my last year coaching my daughter Grace's soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
And this is several years back. And they had said, we learned more about concussions in the last 5 years than we did in the previous 30.
I thought they were going to say, we learned more about soccer from you coaching our team.
No. This was one of the but all that concussion concern, and I think you've seen that spill over in the NFL. But yeah, this double, and now they're saying next year, medical knowledge will double every 73 days. I mean, wow, how do you keep up?
I found the exact date. Penicillin was discovered in London in September of 1928.
28, okay.
You know what?
I was
off
only
a year.
Off.
You were
okay.
Close.
Not bad.
That's a short putt. Right
here's something. I had to, when we were talking about this off the air, I had to phone a friend.
Yes.
Grandpa Wayne.
Grandpa Wayne.
Be a millionaire.
Because he is like
knowledge.
The knowledge. Okay, so, and he's talked about this for years. Okay, so what he had heard, and you can fact check, I don't know, he said this is kind of anecdotal, is that between the recorded history, the beginning of recorded history,
mm-hmm,
to 1850, we accumulated a body of knowledge, okay? It took that many, you know, thousands of years.
A little slower moving, yeah.
To accumulate that body of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Between 1850 and 1950, that body of knowledge doubled. It only took 100 years,
mm-hmm,
to double that body,
mm-hmm,
of knowledge.
Mm.
Now, as a society, our entire body of knowledge is doubling every 2 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, I just look at the
wondrous
creator, even as we look at the creativity of man that just faintly echoes the creativity of what the one who made us.
And now, I want to add here, because when we talk about medicine and that body of knowledge doubling every 70-some days.
73.
And people are like, why do we have all these specialists nowadays? You know what? This is why.
Mm.
Because no one doctor can anymore be an expert in neurology, psychology, physiology, renal medicine, the endocrine system. You need specialists because body of knowledge for each and every one of those specialties is so vast.
And my little caveat on this as we wrap it, and even as we head into Mother's Day and thinking families, is as knowledge is doubling faster and faster and faster, and society is moving faster and faster and faster, I think one of the best things we can do individually, marriage, family, and church, is to slow down, is to be countercultural in that way. Not that we're not learning and growing in things, but I think that is increasing. That's the part of the narrow road, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Road less traveled as everybody's going so fast.
Yes. Slow down.
Yeah.
Take the time to, mm-hmm, unplug and to do. You know, I took my daughter to an appointment and she was like, well, what are you going to do? Did you bring a book? No, I didn't bring a book. I'm going to sit here and do nothing.
Well, today is a sad day because it's a Memorial Day of type. Now, we know that the most significant solemn Memorial Day comes at the end of the month, actually on the fourth Monday of the month, Memorial Day. But today is National Lost Sock Memorial Day.
Oh.
Yeah, many socks.
We all,
so many socks.
So many years.
And they had so much potential.
They had so many more toes left to cover.
Yes.
We barely knew ye.
White socks, colored socks. Where do all the missing socks go?
Where do they go?
We've had
Where
this discussion in my household. Yeah, because you buy cute socks, right?
Yeah.
But when they're one-of-a-kind pairs with cute socks, then when one of them gets lost, then the
You're
entire pair is hosed. So We try to buy generic socks.
When my children were infants, tiny, my firstborn, I had the cutest pair of itty bitty 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 tiny socks that were white with little cow spots on them.
Yeah.
I lost one.
Well, you're the woman who orders socks from cereal boxes. So,
true.
I mean,
I know.
Have like Toucan Sam socks and Tony the Tiger socks. Don't lose those.
I know. Take special care
In an effort to keep the socks on my youngest child, Nornor actually has socks that have straps that go over her heel so that she'll keep, and she still kicks them off.
Of course.
And then
does.
Gives this impish little smile
like,
and
yeah.
They're lost.
So this is a story, 3-year-old story.
Okay.
Mystery of socks is solved. Scientists reveal why socks go missing in the wash and how likely it is to happen.
Thank you, science.
There are times we need to turn to our friends in the UK. We do that again here. Leading scientists have unraveled the cause of one of life's great mysteries. The research has led them to devise a mathematical formula to predict the probability of being left in a spin with odd socks after a washing load.
Really?
Yes. The study commissioned by Samsung to launch its innovative new washing machine, AdWash, found that Brits lose an average of 1.3 socks each month.
1.3.
More than 15 a year, leaving them with numerous mismatches.
Oh. You know, it's sort of like that thing with hot dogs and hot dog buns where they never seem to align.
Or,
I'm pretty sure this is a sock company conspiracy.
Storage containers and lids.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a room full of lids and Rubbermaid socks out there someplace. Just they're having a party without us.
While many fanciful theories have been put forward for these laundry losses, including theft by gremlins, even the late Professor Stephen Hawking once speculated they may have fallen victim to spontaneously created black holes.
Oh. Can we get Neil deGrasse Tyson in on this as well? And then Ken Ham, just from the other side.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Goodness. Oh, never did find
The team's work, which involved a survey of 2,000 people, were happy to discuss their dirty linen in public, come up with a variety of theories. The main factors for missing socks, the complexity of the washing load, the way the batches are divided up, and based on whites and colors and different temperatures and the number of socks in each wash cycle.
Don't make laundry more complicated.
Right? Yeah. Oh, gracious.
They just get lost. The bottom line, let's face it, we all know what happens. I recently had a load back, and I'm not the one who does the most laundry in the house.
Yeah.
Occasional. But yeah, you come back and you go, there's a pair, but then there's a sock
like,
by
and
itself.
It's always your favorite socks, like your favorite Dickie socks. And it's like, should I put these on a milk carton? Like, where are they?
I really loved, over the last few years, the trend for my kids was to wear mismatched socks, like on purpose.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
It is.
That's a beautiful thing.
And mothers everywhere rejoiced.
Yes.
Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. Still love to hear your Mother's Day tribute to your mom. 715-396-1670, 396-1670. A really big deal is taking mom out for brunch or lunch. In fact, Mother's Day is the most popular holiday for restaurants.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because mom's not going to cook and no one else wants to.
If that's the case, right? An estimated
or
goodness now. Out of 320 million people in America, 92 million Americans will dine out for Mother's Day.
Wow.
A third, basically.
That's amazing, right?
Oh. Yeah.
47% of those celebrating the holiday at a restaurant will do so at dinner. 45% go for lunch, 25% for brunch, and 10% say, Mom, we're taking you out for breakfast.
Okay.
Well, maybe mom wants to sleep in.
Right.
So
have breakfast.
Brunch is most common
bed.
For those over 65, while diners 35 to 44 prefer going out to dinner.
Okay.
I think I would like to go like an odd time, like 3 or 4.
Sure.
Like a lupper kind of thing, because then the crowds are a little down. I don't want to go for breakfast. Even brunch is a challenge because
we
go to church.
Is that after your nap then?
Yeah, maybe.
Post-nap lupper.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think you're a little different with that one, but over 30% of moms say having a meal at a restaurant with their loved ones is the best gift they could receive.
Because then your kitchen's not a mess. Mm-hmm. And hey, if you wanted to take mom out for coffee, Starbucks has this new s'mores frappuccino.
Yes, I've heard about this.
It looks delicious. Can I say it looks delicious? Okay.
How many calories?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
It's not good.
I'm guessing.
Brace yourself.
980.
I don't see calories here, but I do see grams of sugar.
Okay.
67 grams of sugar.
Cover your ears, Keto Nation.
67 grams. Now, think about this, gentlemen. 4 grams of sugar equals 1 teaspoon. How many teaspoons is in 67 grams
16,
of sugar?
16. It's going on 17.
17.
Almost 17.
Okay,
just
now.
Scoop it all in.
17, which means that there's over 4 tablespoons of sugar in this drink, which means that's like over a quarter cup. Mm-hmm. That's wow.
Well, you see how much sugar they put in pop, right? You've seen some of those.
Yeah, well, because I always remember my, I don't drink Mountain Dew as much, but I always enjoyed it. And there were 46 grams of sugar.
I'm with you.
Go ahead.
Well, and before we just laid on Star, he's like, oh, put so much sugar. I don't know about you guys, but when I was making Kool-Aid as a kid,
right,
if mom wasn't looking, I'd dump in double the amount of sugar.
It had sugar, yeah, right.
This is, I just did the math here quick. It's got like a third of a cup of sugar in it.
Whoa.
A third of a cup of sugar in one of these.
That's why it tastes
so
good. So
good. I'm going to need that with a side of insulin, please. Oh, and also it's 590 calories. 20 grams of fat!
Well, here's the thing. You want a nap, so how about a nice coma, I guess.
This is sugar only a coma in the 16-ounce drink. It has 20 grams of fat, 590 calories. Oh, no.
Well, you got to walk it off then. The Mother's Day walk.
It's got 5 grams of protein.
Yeah, sure. That's,
get out with the family.
Is that a thing? Maybe a Mother's Day walk?
We're kind of creative.
My mom enjoys Mother's Day
walks. I wanted a Mother's Day nap.
Multiple straw action, perhaps?
Yes. Does a diabetic coma count as a nap? Because...
This date in history.
Yeah. On 1991, let's go back 28 years, and cancer-stricken Michael Landon made his final public appearance on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and Johnny introduced him this way.
I think most of the nation and the world probably know by now that on April 8th of this year, Michael Landon was diagnosed as having inoperable cancer of the pancreas and liver, and that would stun anybody. But like Michael Landon, he met the problem head on. He invited the press to his house and told him the situation. He did that mainly to avoid the rumors and the speculation and misinformation and to try to avoid sensationalism by the tabloids.
And so nonetheless, even though he had done that, he showed up on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, which in fact the episode ranks as one of the highest rated episodes in The Tonight Show's history. Nonetheless, he notes here that there still was speculation like... that, in fact, he and his wife wanted to have a 10th child so that she could have something to remember him by.
There's a big headline in one of these incredible magazines about the fact that I want to have a 10th child so my wife will have something to remember me by. I mean, I got 9 kids, 9 dogs, 3 grandkids, 1 in the oven, 3 parrots, and my wife, Cindy, needs something to remember me by?
Remember this.
So Cindy, I know you're out there somewhere hiding in a hotel. Come home. It was their idea. It's not mine. I want you to come back to the house.
He died 7 weeks later.
But, oh my goodness.
What a successful, certainly popular, beloved television actor.
Yeah.
You talk about Little House on the Prairie, but Bonanza before that. And what was it? Highway to Heaven.
Highway
the other
to Heaven.
Show.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting. You talk about having something to remember of a spouse by this. The widow of a fallen Milwaukee police officer is announcing that she's pregnant. Officer Matthew Rittner was shot to death in February during a drug and weapon search. His wife says she found out she was going to have a baby 3 days after her husband's funeral. The gender reveal with pictures was shared on Facebook and indicates she is expecting a little girl due to arrive in October. Wow. Wow. Goodness.
Life is short. Life is precious.
Yes, just, it is.
Treasure
and
every
know.
Day. Yeah. Every relationship.
Absolutely. Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.